There's been something kind of on my mind to talk about for a while, ever since chapter 1 in 1 Peter. And it's a specific word that comes up in your scripture from time to time. And we've seen it four times already in 1 Peter. And those are the only four times it's mentioned. And we just got through the fourth one, so I thought it'd be time to talk about it. And that word is fear. So it's going to maybe be a little bit heavy, maybe not, I don't know. But I wanted to talk about fear, the fear of the Lord to be specific, but also some other fear. Psalms 1, 11:10, you don't need to turn there, and Proverbs 9:10, unless you can open to both of them at the same time, they say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Every piece of logic, every piece of reasoning starts somewhere. And gaining basic understanding about how to live life begins with fearing the Lord. And I thought we'd start in Revelation chapter 14. And you can turn there because we'll read a couple verses, not chapters. Revelation 14, 6. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth and sea and springs of waters." Fear God and give him glory. Why? Because the hour of his judgment has come. I have been taught at one point, and maybe a lot of you have been taught at one point, that the fear of the Lord is respect. And for a long time, whenever I saw the word fear in Scripture, I replaced it with respect. And I really dislike that now. Fear can be part of respect. If you have a father who loves you, a dad, like a human dad, that really loves you, and cares for you completely, and when you go really wrong, he really beats you, and then he gives you a hug and loves you and cares for you and is completely devoted to you, you respect him. And that fear is part of that respect. I remember as a child, I was scared to death of lying. It scared the living daylights out of me to even think about lying. And that was good. And I knew that my parents were proud of me when I did not lie, even when it was difficult. And I was scared to death that should I lie and my parents find out, the blistering that would happen on my rear end would change my life for a while. I remember watching other people lie, and that would scare the living daylights out of me. So is respect in there? Yes, it is. But fear is only a sliver of respect, but respect is not fear. And when the Bible talks about fear, I don't think we should replace it with respect in our mind. I heard it recently from a young person that goes to church here, that, you know, it's like respect. And I thought, that's what I used to think. I should talk about this. It is not. It is absolutely not. The word fear in the Bible is usually translated from a word called phobos in Greek, or some variants thereof. And we get our word phobia from it, you know? I don't know, what are some phobias? Hydrophobia, acrophobia, all those things, right? It's basically an irrational fear in our world when we use the word phobia. You know, sometimes when I haven't been on a ladder in a long time and I get up to about 6 feet, my tummy starts doing weird things. My eyes start like getting unfocused a little bit. And I'm like, ooh, I haven't done this in a while. And it's irrational. And I know it's irrational, but that fear is there. And that's the kind of fear that I think the Bible is talking about usually. It's to put to flight. Something happens and you run as fast as you can. You want to get out of there. I am uncomfortable. This is not cool. That kind of a situation. And so here in Revelation, fear God and give him glory because the hour of his judgment has come. Who can escape the judgment of God? Not me or you. No one can escape the judgment of God. And he's about to judge. So be afraid. But you can't run anywhere. What is your natural response? What do you need to do? Give him glory. Worship him. Get on his side. I should have brought this verse, but it comes to mind right now, and I want to reference it. So some of you might have to help me. There's a piece talking about when you're going to court with your neighbor, when he's bringing a case against you and you're on your way, make peace with him, right? Figure it out before you get to the judge, because that judge can cast judgment upon you. Figure it out before you get there. This is like that. Judgment is about to happen. Figure it out. Worship God. Give him glory. He's the judge. He's the one you're guilty against. Make it right. Or else. There's a big or else embedded in this.
Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
I think what you're looking for is in Matthew 5,
okay.
Verse 25. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer and you be thrown in prison.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. When I was young, now God is not in a hurry to put you in jail, right, or to punish you. God is loving. I remember... Anybody of you watched the nature shows back in the day, you know, or Discovery type stuff? Jack, what's his name? Jack Cousteau?
Jacques
Cousteau? Yeah. I loved watching things like that, right? Like, I wanted to be like a nature photographer or something when I was a kid, right? You watch that stuff and you want to be in it. It's the adventure. And there was one on cats that I recall. Wild cats, about that big. I don't remember what kind of cat it was. It was something like a cougar or something that they were watching. And they had spent a couple months around it, taking pictures, taking videos, showing how they act, showing how they hunt. And this cat had gotten used to their scent and them being around, because they had been around it for so long. And the photographer was in a bunch of brush trying to capture some images of this cat. And his buddy was taking a video of him, which is why they could show it in this show. And the cat started coming towards the photographer. And just casually, kind of through the brush, got to him and started rubbing on him. Amazing. He probably thought it was amazing. You know what he didn't do? Try to pet it or play with it. It was a hands to his side and let the cat do its thing. Right? God loves you. And he's going to rub up on you. And he wants to show you love. But he is a roaring lion. And as C.S. Lewis said, he's not a tame lion. Watch your hands. Don't make any sudden movements. That's the fear of the Lord. A God who loves you, but you need to watch your step. He is going to judge. Let's look at 1 Peter. And we're going to be in chapter 1, starting in verse 17. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges, there it is, judgment, according to each one's work, conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished, the spotless, or unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. And he sticks it right towards the beginning, first chapter, basically part of the introduction. Conduct yourselves in fear during your time of your stay on earth. Again, he's the one who judges, and he's the one who redeemed you. And he redeemed you not with gold or silver, but with the most precious thing that God has, his only son. And the blood of his only son. Now, we don't have slaves nowadays, but I almost saw it like that, right? Like you're a slave, and a very rich guy buys you with his most precious possessions. You better make him happy, right? That's kind of the picture I get here. God loves you and cares for you and has purchased you out of the bad place that you're in, into this glorious place, makes you a son or daughter, and he does that by paying the greatest price possible, and he has the right to judge you. How do you behave? In the best way possible, right? With fear and trembling, with a, okay, I'm cared for, but I better not think that it's a game. I better not start waving my hands and start smacking that cat, right? You don't do that. You can't do that. It's dangerous. Let's go down to chapter 2, also verse 17. And we kind of know the context because we've been talking about 1 Peter. He's talking about difficult times. He's talking about dealing with difficult authority. And he says, honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. I like the way he sets it up. I don't think fear God is actually supposed to be just one of the list items. I think it's a reminder in the middle of the sentence. He already warned them, like, to be careful. The one who judges and paid a high price for you, right? And then he goes into these lessons on how we ought to act and what we ought to do and how we belong in the system. He says, honor all people, love the brotherhood. And then this almost feels like a threat. Fear God. He's watching you as you're doing this. And honor the king. Let's look at the... Now, the next two are different. They're the opposite. Chapter 3, verse 6. And this puts us in the middle or the end of the section where it talks to women about how to deal with their husbands. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear. Who do we not fear? Husbands. Don't fear your husband. Don't fear the king. honor the king, respect your husband, be submissive, but we don't fear them. We don't fear the governors. We don't fear the people in authority. They can't do anything to us. Yeah, temporarily, they can bring a lot of stress to our life and make things difficult, but ultimately, there's only one who judges the soul. There's only one that we're looking to please. When I was a child and I was scared to death of lying, I was scared to death because my parents, not because of the person I'm talking to that I might lie to, I'm not worried about them. A little bit, I might be tempted to lie because of the stress of the situation, or because I want to impress them, or because I don't want to look as bad as I really am in the moment. Whatever the situation might be, there's some nervousness there, some minor fears, but not the real fear. The real fear was towards my parents. In the same way here, as we're dealing with husbands, as we're dealing with wives, as we're dealing with authorities, yeah, there's stress. There might be some consequences. There's places all over the world where Christians are thrown into jail. It's difficult. But the one we fear is the Lord. We don't fear them. We don't fear what they might do to us. The next one, or the last one, is chapter 3, verse 14. Actually, we're going to start in 13. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. So those are the four places where we find the word fear in 1 Peter. I wanted to bring a little bit of balance to this, because with that message, you might feel like, oh, I'm supposed to walk through life fearfully. And that's not accurate. It's the fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning. It's the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. But that's not where God wants us to live. But it's important to know that there is fear involved. We ought to be afraid when we step wrong. We ought to be afraid to step off the path. You know, I've done some rock climbing in the past and been on some spots where if I take a step in the wrong direction, there's death. And I'm afraid of that, technically. But when I'm on the path, there's no reason to be afraid. I'm on the path. The fear is if I step off the path, which of course I won't do because I will end up dead. Right? Now, if a wind comes or something, it's like, whoa. But if I'm on the path, it's different. Let's look at 1 John. 1 John takes an opposite look at this. In chapter 4, 1 John, starting in verse 16 or 17. By this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear. Same word. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. That's a lot like Revelation. I mean, not what he's saying, but, right? Fear and punishment. God is the judge. He's about to judge. Therefore, fear God and give him glory. There's no fear in love, though. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother. God has given us some commandments and some guidelines on how we should walk. 1 Peter gives us some guidelines on how we should walk. In 1 Peter, it is the section that we've talked about. A lot of it is about how to deal with authorities, but it's also sprinkled in a little bit how we ought to act among one another, how we should care for one another. When we fear God, we do those things. And when we do those things, we are on the path. And when we're on the path, there's no need for fear. Stay on the path and you will not have fear. Love the brethren. Love the people around you in the church community. And respect the authorities in the government and in your household. And in whatever circumstances you happen to be in, even if you're not married. I was teased that I talk too much about family relationships that some folks might not have. But we all have relationships where we interact, where there are different sets of authorities, whether it be in government, at a job, whether it's just any relationship. Is someone older than you? Probably. Treat them with respect. Give them honor. And when we're walking in those things, when we're walking in love and respect and care and minding our position in this world, whatever that might be, that position is not lower or higher in the sight of God, but it's just your position as you're walking here. If you're doing that correctly, unto God, right? One of the things we saw in 1 Peter was, for the sake of conscience toward God, right? That's why we do those things, for good conscience towards God, for our relationship with him, knowing that he is the judge who will judge us. If unto him we walk correctly in life, there is no fear. And the number one thing we ought to do is to love one another. If you're doing that, there is no fear. But there ought to be a little piece of you in the back of your mind that reminds you, should I stop doing this? There is fear, because there is judgment. And God is not a tame lion. Now, as we do walk through difficulties, it is difficult. And there is a fear, not the kind of fear we ought to have towards God, but there is a fear as we walk through life. Life is difficult. I remember in the military, I really wanted a way to bring this in. No. In the military and training, basic training, we had a live fire exercise. Has anybody ever done that? Anybody who? Yeah. Where you have to crawl under imaginary, well, it's not imaginary, but it's a fake enemy line, right? You have barbed wire hanging, and it's at night, and you're in full gear, and there's a line of drill sergeants, of course, but enemy, and they're firing over your head, and live fire. It's a live fire exercise. Okay, they are shooting over your head, and you're supposed to stay low so that you don't get hit by one of these bullets. I'm pretty sure they're firing high enough over your head that that's not actually an issue, because they don't want to kill anybody. But there's live bullets. Okay, there are live bullets, you know, because there's tracer rounds. You guys know what a tracer round is? Every so many bullets, there's one that glows as it flies. That way you can see in the dark where those bullets are flying. And they're flying overhead. And of course, they add some other noises that sound like explosions. And you're in full gear at night, and you have to crawl under this barbed wire and get to the other side and then climb over some things, and it is scary. You know it's set up so that you don't die, but it doesn't matter. It's scary. Okay? And then you get to the other side and you're exhausted. You were scared, but now you're relieved. And you get to the other side and all the soldiers are around. And I remember I was standing there and everybody's celebrating because they made it. And I'm like, I know it was a fake exercise, right? But I still felt all this relief. And there was this camaraderie and this guy that I had no clue who he was. He's jumping and he walks up to me and he grabs my head, right? I got hard hat, right? The protective gear on. He grabs my helmet and he slams it against his and he's jumping and he's so excited. And I was like, ooh, camaraderie. Right? It went through my system, that sense of camaraderie and accomplishment and joy with these guys. And I was thinking about that this morning, looking at some of this, right? Life is like that live fire exercise. It's scary. It's difficult. And some people don't go through it. And the military, they made everybody do it. And I remember there was one guy that wouldn't do it. He was scared. He just couldn't make himself go in there. And the drill sergeants are like, we've spent $150,000 training you to this point, and we can't graduate you if you don't go through this. So they grabbed him by each side and crawled him through it. And he's like, you're not doing this. We don't care if you're too scared, because in real life you will never do this anyways. You're going to be a mechanic or something and never crawl under barbed wire once in your life. We just need to get you through this. But in real life, in our Christian walk, not everybody's going to make it through. But it's just a live fire exercise. It's difficult. We're going to face things, and Christians across the world, they're facing things, but it's just a live fire exercise. We will get to the other side, right? We just celebrated the passing, the sleeping of Ula. She's on that other side, probably in a group of Christians jumping up and down, and somebody's grabbing her and going, bam! She's going to be like, camaraderie! That's going to be us. And it's going to be great and it's going to be glorious. But right now it doesn't always feel that way. But it is just a live fire exercise and it's difficult. But we have nothing to fear other than judgment. Fear God. Stay on the path and you'll get to that side. Okay. Thoughts, questions, interactions? Yes, sir.
In 1 Peter 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God. Above that, whenever I see a verse that says, it's God's will, that to me pops out as a neon. I look at that as, this would be the perfect life. This is what God is looking for, is honor all men. Mm-hmm. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. That would be nice. I mean, that's what God says we should be striving for. That's his will.
Yeah, I agree with you. I still feel like it's almost like a thread in the middle of it, like a reminder, like, hey.
The thing with the crawling under the wire is what you're afraid of, the potential of death,
right
there. If I stand up, I'm going to get killed. The potential is there.
Yeah. 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 And I think when it brings up fear of the Lord, that's what it's talking about. It's that potential.
Yeah.
Like, stay on the path.
If you don't follow God's will.
Right.
You could do a whole study on this and reverse it. If we don't love the brotherhood, if we don't fear God.
Right. Yeah.
So, Michael, sir, I would like to commend you for broaching the subject. And it seems to me that in our culture, there is little in the way of fear of those we ought to fear. Fear is based on consequences or the anticipation of consequences. And if there are no consequences, there is no fear. And we have reversed that to the point where our emphasis in our culture and then individually is on being nice, being loving, being lovable, with no fear of consequences if we're not. In fact, in our culture and sometimes individually, we support the lack of consequences. There's no need to fear anything. Again, I commend you.
Thanks. Yeah.
I think fear goes in line with also to trust and the faith that goes into the trust and faith of the Lord. Mm-hmm. I think they're hand in hand.
Oh yeah, fear by itself. Fear by itself isn't that great, you know. Like if I just feared my dad because he'll whoop me, it's not good. But if I know he loves me and cares for me and I can trust him, that's a different. It's a different dynamic.
Reverence.
What?
It's a reverential.
Yeah.
Love, fear.
Yeah.
Fear by itself, bullet flying over your head. Yeah, it's scary, and that bullet's not going to save you. It's not going to save you eternally. We have a God that loves us, and then it's kind of like, you know, when you do something wrong as a child, and you know your folks are going to find out about it, you know they're not going to kill you, but you might get a whooping, but you're not going to run away from, probably not going to want to run away from home. You know that they love you. Ultimately, they're doing it for your good. You play with fire, you get burned. Man, well, you better learn that lesson fast.
Go ahead.
I can remember once when I was visiting my grandmother and I crawled underneath her porch to get a kitty cat. She yanked me out and gave me the biggest spank I ever got. And I looked at her, why? Because that's where the cesspool was. Had I gone a little further, I'd have fallen in the ground. So I realized at that point that there's a reason for getting a swat.
Right.
Because I'd never been spanked before.
Right.
I hadn't done anything to deserve it. And she did it to save my life.
Mm-hmm.
Which God does to save your life.
Indeed. All right, let's pray. Father, we come to you and by the blood of Jesus, knowing that we have no righteous standing with you outside of the blood of Jesus. You are the judge, and you will judge, Lord, but because of your Son, we will be able to stand innocent before you, but only because of him. And we give you honor and glory as God and Father and Creator and the one who deeply cares for us and the one who does pardon, but not cheaply. Father, help us as a church to walk in a way that brings honor to you, that does not make light of who you are and what you've done. Help us to love one another. Remind us, discipline us, and cause us to be there for one another completely as you are there for us. And also, I just want to thank you and give you honor because it's a great day. And I get to be here with my brothers and sisters. Lord, be glorified. Take joy in our singing and our time together. In Jesus' name I ask, amen.